This is Brian Cambria with news for the KVNF listening area, Wednesday, April 3, 2013. Delta County Emergency Manager Rob Fiedler reported to commissioners Monday on the wildfire and drought situation. He'd just received the National Interagency Fire Center report forecasting potential fire danger for this season. The bad news? It's been 50 years since there was greater potential for wildfire in our area. KVNF's Marty Derlin has more.
Like a lot of other things, fire season is early this year. Fiedler said the Delta Fire District had to dispatch all but two of their trucks last Friday when two agricultural burns got out of control, and our most significant period for wildfires will begin sooner rather than later.
Normal peak for us is late June to July. They're showing the map definitely red in western Colorado, mid-June. They specifically mentioned western Colorado and eastern Utah as the, and I need to reiterate this is potential. The potential is the highest it's been any time in the last 50 years.
Influencing the high wildfire potential is the continuing drought, not to mention temperatures above normal.
The other thing is the drought tendency during the period from May 31st through the end of July is that it will be persistent in all of Colorado, Nevada, Utah, Wyoming, Arizona, New Mexico. And April, June, the temperature outlook for us is going to be slightly above normal. Did get some significant snowfall in some areas, but we're still way, way below what's even halfway considered normal.
Fiedler says no one in western Colorado will avoid water rationing this year, barring a miracle. Storage on Grand Mesa is at 77% of normal.
You know, I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm not trying to paint a picture of gloom and doom, but I am the emergency manager / planner, and so I plan for the worst and hope for the best.
Even though he was planning for the worst, Fiedler managed to slip in a little joke for April Fool's Day.
You heard the joke about the two outlaws held up the local NPR station, robbed them $25,000 worth of pledges.
That's for you, Marty.
For KVNF News, I'm Marty Derlin.
Meanwhile, the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel says four controlled fires are planned for western Colorado this spring, including one on the Palisade watershed on Grand Mesa. The Bureau of Land Management, along with Grand Junction and Palisade officials, is planning the 646-acre Palisade watershed prescribed fire, which is to burn out years of overgrowth and debris about 7 miles southeast of Palisade. BLM spokesman David Boyd said a date for the fire will be set as favorable conditions develop, adding it's a pretty narrow window in which officials will make that determination and then begin the prescribed fire. He said the proper conditions will reflect a delicate balance. Quote, "They need the conditions to be dry enough to carry fire, but not so dry that they can't control the fire," end quote. While authorities will look for conditions that will allow smoke to rise up rather than be swept into the Grand Valley, smoke will be visible from Palisade, Grand Junction, and to motorists on Interstate 70. Boyd said officials generally hope to be able to give a day's notice of the prescribed fire. The hope is that a prescribed fire will reduce fuel loads and stimulate new, vigorous plant production in the Oakbrush area. Most of the area for the Grand Mesa fire, 588 acres, is owned by Palisade, and 58 acres are owned by the BLM. Other planned fires include a 900-acre battlements prescribed burn 5 miles northeast of Colburn and just west of Brush Creek in the upper end of Grassy Gulch. The burn will be 1 to 2 days and is to be conducted between April and mid-May. A 1,000-acre Indian Creek prescribed burn, 30 miles south of Grand Junction on the Uncompahgre Plateau, adjacent to the Uranium Road. The burn will be 2 to 3 days and is anticipated to be conducted between April and mid-May. The 2,000-acre Nick Mountain prescribed burn about 5 miles south of Molina will be 2 or 3 days in late April or May. Boyd said fire managers have developed detailed fire plans and obtained smoke permits from the state for each of the burns. A bipartisan bill to create a legal limit for driving while high initially passed the House on Tuesday. Supporters say it's especially important now that Colorado has legalized the recreational use of marijuana. Benta Berkland reports from the state capitol.
The measure would set a legal limit of 5 nanograms of THC per millimeter of blood. Republican House Minority Leader Mark Waller of Colorado Springs is a main sponsor of the bill and says it'll be similar to laws already on the books for drunk driving.
It's time. I almost said it's high time. It is time we pass this piece of legislation. This is a very important piece of legislation for the people of the state of Colorado.
It's the third try for lawmakers to pass such a bill. In the past, opponents argued a 5-nanogram limit was arbitrary because THC is stored in the fat and therefore harder to measure impairment. They also said it would be unfair to medical marijuana patients who can build up a tolerance to the drug. But the latest version of the bill would allow people to present evidence that they're not impaired, such as passing a roadside sobriety test. Democratic sponsor Representative Rhonda Fields of Aurora says she thinks it'll send a strong message.
We have people who are deciding to smoke marijuana and get behind the wheel. This is all about protecting our roads. It's about protecting our family. This is about traffic safety in the state of Colorado.
The House tacked on 2 amendments during their debate. Law enforcement couldn't use a medical marijuana card as evidence that a person is under the influence or as probable cause to ask for a test. The bill still needs a final vote in the House before it can head to the Senate. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
The Black Canyon Astronomical Society bids farewell to winter in KVNF's biweekly Western Slope Skies report.
As we enter early spring, the sun starts following a more northerly course across our western slope skies, and daylight hours lengthen rapidly. For the next 2 weeks, the early evening sky is free of moonlight and quite dark, allowing us to see the stars and constellations of springtime. Our old friend from winter, the constellation Orion, with its bright stars Betelgeuse and Rigel, now lies in the southwest at dusk. The next 2 weeks will be our last chance to see Orion in a dark evening sky until next winter, because Orion will soon become lost in evening twilight. The planet Jupiter is the brightest object in the sky at dusk, standing high in the west, north of Orion. Jupiter sinks lower in the west each evening, but the giant planet will still be visible until the end of May. After that, it will appear too near the sun to view safely. Don't confuse the brilliant planet Jupiter with slightly less bright Sirius, the brightest star in the sky, located just east and south of Orion. Jupiter usually shines with a steady light and does not appear to twinkle. Sirius, however, may twinkle furiously, sometimes displaying a range of colors as its light is refracted through our turbulent atmosphere. Comet Pan-STARRS, which was immersed in evening twilight during early March, is now located in darker skies as it moves rapidly northward while receding from the sun and fading. Using binoculars, try looking just above the northwest horizon at about 8:30 p.m. on the evenings of April 4th and April 5th. You may see Comet Pan-STARRS just to the right of the Great Andromeda Galaxy. Both the galaxy and the comet will appear as fuzzy patches of light, but the comet may still have a tail that points in the direction opposite the just-set sun. You've been listening to Western Slope Skies, produced by members of the Black Canyon Astronomical Society. I'm Art Tribina.
As NPR's Morning Edition reported, President Obama travels to Colorado's Front Range today where he will continue asking citizens to pressure Congress to pass measures to reduce gun violence. The president will meet with local law enforcement officials and community leaders to discuss the new measures the state recently put in place, including closing loopholes in the background check system. And finally, as it's the first Wednesday of the month, we share listener feedback from our comment line. This installment focuses on local news and commentary on KVNF.
Good morning. I was just listening to the news, and there was a very long report about how crazy people are over guns, and I really don't think that's news anyway. And you shouldn't give the gun rights advocates such a lengthy interview soapbox to spout their madness. I would appreciate that.
Okay. Who is this Angus Stocking character, and why are we suited to his rantings? Why is your programming open to such things? And, I mean, is it open to everybody or just these select two individuals, that woman that now lives in Oklahoma, and then this Angus dude? I don't really get it. Not really interesting, pretty stupid, pretty annoying. Okay, that's my thought. Okay, bye.
Do you have an opinion or a question about the programming you hear on KVNF? We welcome your thoughts on the comment line. The number is 970-765-8680. That's 970-765-8680. Remember, without you, it wouldn't be two-way radio. So be a part of it. Thus concludes today's newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria. Good day.